Okay, if we can go ahead and get started. I think the clock on the wall says it's time. It's certainly a pleasure to see everyone here today. And as always, I hate to bring it into this good fellowship, but I think it is time to study the Word of God. If you'd join me in a prayer very briefly. Almighty, righteous, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your blessings, Lord, and for the lesson which we are about to receive. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to its meaning. Be with us, Lord, and forgive us of our sins. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The lesson for today is, it is more blessed to give than receive. We'll be using the Bible extensively, so if you have your Bibles, if you would, please dig those out and be prepared to go back and forth. The first one, if I can have someone look up Acts 20, Acts chapter 20, verses 33 and 35. Raphael, do you have that by any chance? Can you read it, please? Okay. Now, these are the words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than receive. However, you can search the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find that quote anywhere in the Bible. It is found one place, and one place only, here, Acts chapter 20, verses 35. However, it is from Paul. And who was Paul? Paul was an inspired apostle of God, chosen personally by Jesus after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to bring the word to the entire world, particularly the Gentile world. Rick, I'm going to ask you to read a couple things. First, if you would look up John 21, verse 25, please, and read that. John 21, 25. Now then, very clearly explained there by John, the apostle whom Jesus loved, that not everything Jesus said and did was recording. However, it is very apparent from Paul's quote there that this was probably a common saying, that it was known to others. It is no doubt that Paul was chosen and inspired by God, that his word is inspired. So we can take it as gospel truth, interesting word there, gospel truth, that this is something that Jesus did say. There's something we need to be aware of in this, though. Then that is the word blessing, or bless, or blessed. What is a blessing? What is a blessing? Anybody? Blessing is basically a gift from God. What's interesting is the word in Greek that they use, that's translated bless, is makarion. It comes from the Greek root word makar, which has four different meanings depending on context. It can mean happiness. It can mean fruitful. It can mean rich, as in riches. Or, in this context, most likely it means fulfillment. Fulfillment, to be filled up. So in this particular sense, it is more blessed to give. In other words, you are more fulfilled giving than you are receiving. If you would, please turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, this is a fairly long reading. And Rick Offal, I'm going to pick on you this time. If you would go to Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 32. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 32. Okay, now these are the words of Jesus, directly from Jesus, telling you, God is aware of what you need, and He will provide. I know it's a long passage, but three times it's iterated, God's going to take care of you. You worry about the things of the world because God has promised you the kingdom of heaven. You take care of yourself. Now, it's not a free ride, because what did God tell Adam when he showed him the way out of the garden? He says, by the sweat of thy brow shalt thou cultivate the fields. In other words, you work for what you get. Remember the rich man who in the barn? He had so much, he was just going to sit down and take it easy. That's not what God wants. That doesn't mean just sit down and take a handout. You work for what you get. But don't worry about it. Now, if God is giving us all these things, what's our responsibility? Go back to what we just read there in Acts chapter 20. Paul was writing to the Ephesian elders. He was telling them that to prepare for a giving. He was coming with a particular mission, and he expected them, they had promised, as a matter of fact, that they would provide for him. They had taken up collection. He had asked them to take up a collection of silver and gold. This was going to be used not for Paul, but for the purpose of spreading the gospel. It's fairly clear when you look at Acts 20, 33-35, that God expects us to give, and that He expects that giving to be several things. Number one, this giving is personal. You should be the one providing and giving. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 16, chapter 2. Chad, any chance I can get you to read that, please? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Okay. On the when? The first day of the week. Not only is it stated that we give, it's stated that we give at a particular time. On the first day of, and by the way, in Greek, it really translates into the context, on the first day of every week, we are to give back to God what He has blessed us with. Notice that it isn't just a spurious thing. It's something planned. It's something you prepare for. You don't just reach in your pocket and say, oh, okay, here I got some spare change. God, here you go. Think about it this way. Husband's at the store. He's been working hard all week. He thinks he deserves a prize. So he goes to the store. He buys himself a nice $250 suit. Well, it needs a new shirt. There's $40. New tie. There's another $40. Well, my shoes are a little scuffed. Let's go spend $75 for a pair of shoes. Oh, wait a minute. You know, I need to buy my wife a dress. Let me see. Well, I got $35. I guess I'll go over to the clearance rack and get her something. So he takes that home wearing that nice new suit and he throws it down and says, here you go, hon, got something for you. What do you think her opinion is going to be? I'm sure Mona says that to you all the time. Now think about this. If at the end of the week, that's what you're doing, or the first of the week, that's what you're doing to God, how much more has God given you than even your wife? God should come first. So plan. That giving should be personal and it should be planned. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 5 through 7. James, any chance I can get you to look up 2 Corinthians 9, verses 5 through 7, please? Okay. Now, there's several lessons in here, several of which are many times are taken out of context. You can go to a lot of denominational services, particularly those guys who tend to preach on the radio and on the TV. They're always asking you for what? And they often quote, not this entire passage, but the God loves a cheerful giver. Well, understand, let's go back to what Paul said in Acts. The money was for what? It was for a purpose. To help whom? The weak. Paul was not asking for that money for himself, but for the people who needed it, to spread the word, and the orphans and the widows who needed the money. So let's think about what James just read there. For a purpose, not grudgingly, as you have been blessed. So in the week, as God gives to you, you should cheerfully and willingly give back to God part of what He has blessed you with. God's giving it to you so you'll be happy, so you'll be fruitful, so you can live. You should be willing to give it back for God's purpose so that you will be blessed in the sense of being fulfilled. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 11, verse 29. Acts 11, 29. Who have I not picked on? Jerry, there you are. Would you mind looking up Acts chapter 11, verse 29, and reading that, please? Acts 11, verse 29. How do they give? As they were able. Everyone should give something. Some can give more than others. Some are more blessed by God. Some just, sheer luck, fortune, whatever you want, have more to give. But everybody has something to give. If nothing else, your time. We should all give back to God. And if you go to Deuteronomy 16:16, Rick, would you mind? Deuteronomy 16:16. And Raphael, if you look up Exodus 25:2, there is a long history of this. From the very beginning, God has set this up in purpose that we should be willing to give, that this is a personal sacrifice. And keep, bear in mind that word sacrifice. Rick, are you ready?
16:16?
Yes, sir. Okay, and that word empty, it means they need to bring something to God. In this particular case, it was talking about sacrifice.
Go, I'm going to say verse number 7. It says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given.
Correct. I'm sorry. I should have asked you to read that too. Give as you are able. Okay. Willingly. God will accept it willingly if you give it willingly. So what do we learn from this? That giving must be personal. It must be from the heart. Everyone is to do it, and it's for a purpose. It also has to be regular. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 16:2 again. Rick, Alpha, would you mind reading 1 Corinthians 16:2 again? I know we've read it once, but let's take a look at what he really says.
16:2.
Okay. As I said before, it's stated when. It's regular. Every first day of the week, when you are able, give purposefully and for a reason. Look at that. This ties in with Acts 20:7. Chad, Acts 20:7, please. Once again, first thing, this is a regular thing. This ties in with with 1 Corinthians. Paul had a purpose. He wasn't just asking for the money. It was to go for a particular purpose, as he was about to leave. And so we shouldn't be asked to give, or tasked, as you should say. We should be prepared to give willingly because it is what we want to do. This giving should also be pleasant. If you look at 2 Corinthians 9:7, if we look at that, we just read it. The word cheerful comes from the Greek word hilar, which is where we get the English term, hilarious. It should be cheerful. God loveth a cheerful giver, cheerful in the sense that he's doing it willingly and not grudgingly. It's something we plan on doing. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 8:10-11. Jerry, once again, if I get you to read that, please. 2 Corinthians 8:10-11. Okay. What is Paul saying here? Finish what you start. You're planning to give. It should be part of your plan. So it should be very regular. It should be for a purpose. You become a member of the Lord's church. You were instructed, you see here, to lay aside some of what you've got. It's not a set amount. It's not a tithe. You'll hear a lot about the tithe. A tithe was a tenth. And by the way, if you go and look at the tithe, what it was not necessarily your money. It was your agricultural produce. It was what you produced. It was your, the clothes. It was the food that you produced. And it was to go for a particular purpose. It was a tenth. For what reason? It went to whom? It went to the Levites. Why? When the land was split up among the children of Israel, what did the Levites get? Well, they got particular cities, and they got a tenth of everybody else's produce. It wasn't so they could live high on the hog. It was so they could survive and fulfill their obligation to God. So as we give, it's not a tithe. It's not a 10%. It is what your heart desires and what you are capable of. As we said, it should be willing, it should be cheerful, not grudging, and it should be for a particular purpose. So this giving should be pleasant. It should give us joy. For instance, in the when Paul was talking to the Macedonian elders the Macedonians in chapter 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 4, he was telling them to give willingly and cheerfully, and they should receive their pleasure, not here on earth, but the satisfaction of they are doing A, God's will, and B, that they are fulfilling God's purpose. That should give them the satisfaction. That's their reward, not monetary. So many people misquote in the dominoes of the world, misquote the deal about casting your bread on waters and having it return a hundredfold. That's not what God is saying. Just because you give, don't expect you're going to get a material reward here on earth. Let's go back to the original meaning of Makarion, blessed. A blessing is not necessarily physical. Quite often, it's just a satisfaction of doing a job well done. For instance, a lot of high school athletes, when they win a race, what do they get? Okay. Nowadays, I know they get trophies and they get medals. Back when I was in high school, we got ribbons. Blue, red, yellow, white, green. You got the satisfaction of knowing you'd won. No material reward. Think about that. Paul so many times refers to the life here on earth as like a race to get into heaven. You have to prepare for it. You have to be steady. You got to be focused. And your reward is not something you're going to get right away. The reward's at the end of the race. So it's like this, as you were a part of that race, is giving back to God. Think of it that way. As the athlete, and you can talk to Chad about this, he's an athlete among us. Sometimes you get that endorphin rush, correct? In the middle of the race. But that's not really a reward, is it? What's the reward at the end? Even if you don't win, the reward is knowing that you have done your best. Now for us, everyone who is faithful to God and runs away and race true is going to get the reward. It's not restricted just to the first, second, third place winner. Everyone will get the reward of heaven. If you race, and if you race a complete race, and do as God has commanded. So that giving should be pleasant and purposeful. Let's take a look at something else. Remember how he said you're to give not grudgingly, not sparingly, but as your heart purposes? Let's take a look at Exodus 25. Exodus 25, verse 2. Raphael, would you mind looking up Exodus 25, 2? And Rick, would you mind looking up Psalms 110, verse 3? 110, verse 3. Notice what he said. You bring me an offering willingly. And Rick, so give without reluctance because you want to, not because God's asking it of you, but because you want to. Remember, as I said before, God deserves first place, doesn't he? He deserves not what's in your pocket, but at the beginning of the week you should plan. Here's what I'm going to give to God first. Because the Lord knows God loves you, no pun intended. He loves you. And you should love him back. Let's take a look at Matthew 6:33. James, would you mind Matthew 6:33? And Rick, awful if you would look up Proverbs 3:9. Okay. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And if we want to help the kingdom of God, you've got to help support it here on earth. Sure, our reward's in heaven, but where's the work? Is the work up in heaven or is the work here? The work is here on earth. That's where the field is. So this is where we work. And we should support it. Just as you pay your taxes to the government so you have good roads. Don't go there. It's politics. But in theory, you pay taxes to the government to support the work here. In the same way, our gift is sacrifice. God doesn't require a living sacrifice of us anymore. We don't have to take bulls or goats or rams or doves to be burned as a sacrifice to God. That's been given. Our sins have been washed away by Jesus' blood. He gave that final sacrifice. However, we are still required to sacrifice what? Our heart, our time, our efforts to God. Give them willingly. Okay, I'm sorry. Proverbs 3:9, please. Honor the Lord with thy substance. So this willing giving, what are we doing? We're honoring what? We're honoring God. We're saying, God, I love you so much. What you've given me, I'm going to give some of that back to you. Do you think God needs it? Does God need that? God created everything. Think he can create more wealth? Yeah. What does God want? What's the act of sacrifice doing? What does God get out of it? Your spirit and our soul. We are willing, we're happy to give back to God. And that's what he wants. He loves us. And part of our growth is to give back to God. Our giving should also be plentiful. Yeah. So many times it says, give as you are able. It doesn't mean scrimp. It means you should give as your heart desires and what you, as you've been blessed, return back to God. Every example recorded in the Bible of an acceptable giving is what's known as a liberal gift. Let's go take a look at Luke 21 verses 1 through 4. Hilliard, I'm going to pick on you if you don't mind. Would you mind looking up Luke chapter 21 verses 1 through 4? And Jerry, if you look up 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5 again. So you see, it's not the amount this guy concerned about. It's the willingness. It's the heart. It's the giving from the heart. You know, many of the rich men, the Pharisees in particular, were giving lots of money because they had lots of money. But she gave what? Y'all ever seen what a mite is? A mite is in this particular time in history, was known as a lepton. A lepton is a very small coin, smaller than a penny, about maybe half the size of a penny. It's the smallest coin. It is the smallest coin that was in circulation. Two leptons would have bought maybe a lemon, a couple of lemons, or maybe a sparrow. But the poor widow gave that, all she had, willingly to God. And Jesus obviously found this sacrifice far more, because it was a sacrifice for her, far more acceptable than a lot. Now, if you've got a lot, that doesn't mean you can get by just giving a couple of leptons. No, it's the willingness that God finds pleasure in. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Please notice that the Macedonians were poor, yet they gave cheerfully, willingly, and they gave as much as they possibly could. But please notice also, they gave what? First to whom? They gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave, and I think Paul's inference here, is then they gave to us. In other words, they dedicated themselves to God. And did what he wanted. As part of that, they gave their material goods to Paul for the work here on earth. That's a liberal gift. It's an unbegrudging gift as much as you possibly can. But you don't have to, you know, he's not saying you have to give yourself into poverty. You have to live. God has given you a way to earn money here on earth to live. But you should somehow find a way to give back to God. Let's take a look at Acts 2, verses 45. Rick, would you mind? Acts 2, 45. And Raphael, if you look up Exodus 36, verses 5 through 7. As every man had need. Remember, they did not just turn it over to someone and say, okay, here you go, I fulfill my obligation to God. They gave as what? As it was needed. In other words, when you give, let's go back to the giving should be purposeful. It should be for a purpose. You can't buy your way into heaven. I don't know, I don't care what the Catholics try and tell you. You cannot buy your way into heaven. I don't care how much money you've got. Even if you're giving it willingly, it's got to be for a purpose. And if it's not for a purpose, you should think very carefully about what you're giving it for. There's many, many, particularly in this day and age, there's a lot of charities asking for money. A lot of veterans charities say, you know, we need to help our poor veterans. And I find that good. I'm willing to give to them. But the problem is, if will you take a look and see what the veteran, what those causes are being used for? How much money are those groups giving back? Somebody who's running for political office nowadays has a charity, a pretty big one, that gets millions of dollars and gives millions of dollars out. But then when you look at where and who's getting that money, it's not going to people in need. It's paying for a pretty good lifestyle for the head of the charity and for this person who's running for a political office now. Understand what you're giving for. It's your responsibility. God has laid it on you to give, but God has also laid the responsibility on you to make sure that what you're giving, that money, is going to a good purpose. Notice what Paul did. When Paul went out, Paul didn't ask for money to live on. Paul earned his own money. How? He was a tent maker. And by tent maker, Paul sewed anything heavy canvas. Bags, sails, tents, clothing necessary, saddle blankets. It isn't important what he made. The important thing is he earned his own way. Does that mean we don't play the preacher? No. Modern day preachers have so much responsibility, I think we are obligated to pay them. But it doesn't, the money that we give to the elders, it's the elders have a responsibility laid on them to make sure that the money goes for a purposeful cause. They have to answer to God for the money that you give. Just as you have to answer to God for why you gave it to the elders. So you should ask your elders periodically, what's the money going for? And they should be absolutely willing and able to tell you where it is going. Which is why we have business meetings, in which I encourage you, men, to attend the business meetings that we have periodically. Yes, sir. No, you need to save. Just because God, you know, okay, remember the parable of the man who built his house on the rock? You need to look ahead to the future. You need to save, because there's going to be times of feast and times of famine. Think of Joseph. When Joseph was in Egypt, what did he have the people there do? The entire kingdom. They saved. Why? They had 7 good years, but do good years last forever? They knew it was coming. Now, you take a look ahead. Can you tell the future? Right now, this nation is prosperous. Hopefully, most of us are here by worldly standards. Take a look at Bangladesh or Africa sometime just to see how rich you really are here in the U.S. But are we always going to be rich? In your own life, there have been times when we've all been poor, I'm sure, and wondered about how we're going to pay those bills at the end of the month. So yeah, you need to save as well. That's between you and God. You know, you're to give as your heart directs. And so, but understand that you're going to have to answer to God, you know, how much you gave and why. You know, Rick, if you can't give, I'm not going to ever say, okay. You give as your heart tells you. But yeah, you should save. But the thing is, understand that in times are sort of lean, you still have the responsibility to give some of that saved back to God. He gave it to you in the first place. It's your obligation to give a part of it back. Yeah. Store up your treasures in heaven, not on earth. And that's the, you know, we'll get to it at the end of the lesson here, and that's where your reward is. We've sort of hit on it, that the reward's gonna be in heaven. Yeah. He's got a responsibility to God. Very, very good point. Very good. Does that answer your question? Well, that's something you decide. That's something you have to decide. How much you give back to God. You gotta save. You need to pass on something to your children, as it says in Proverbs. But how much you give, that's something you have to determine between you and God. You know, no one can tell you. We're not, unlike under the Mosaic Law, under the Levitical dispensation, you're required to give a certain amount. It's not required. It's just as you have been blessed, as God gives you more, you in turn should give more back to Him. Not with the expect that you're going to get a return in material goods, but you're going to be blessed with fulfillment, with happiness by God. You should give until your heart, the answer is, you should give until your heart is glad. But it's just not your finances, correct. You know, he says, give of your time. You know, go back to the Macedonians. What did they do first? They gave themselves first to God. And then they gave, in their poverty, to the apostles. You know, God doesn't need money. He's not going to spend money. Go ahead, Rick. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chad. That's actually what I had next, because think about what happened here with Ananias and Sapphira. They weren't required to give anything. That field was theirs. They, you know, as Peter said, you know, it was in their possession. They could have done what they wanted with it. But what did they do? They sold it. They could have given it, you know, it was their field. They could have sold it, given it all to God, given it none to God, given whatever they wanted back to the church, which is what they did. But what was their sin? They told everyone that they had given all when they had actually kept back half. Well, let's just say that God was not pleased with it, as you can tell. Understand that Christianity is based on sacrifice, and giving is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that we're still required to give. We are not required, as I said before, not required to actually burn an animal any longer, because Jesus has washed away our sins. But we're still required to sacrifice in the sense we need to give back. And that's what giving is. Take a look at John chapter 3, verse 16. Oh, we know this one, I think, by heart, but just in case, read it anyhow. So God gave the final sacrifice. No more sacrifices are required. But understand what Christianity is based on. What is the whole way into heaven based on? It's based on a sacrifice. A sacrifice by Jesus Christ on our behalf. So it behooves us then to sacrifice in turn by giving a little bit. This is really not that much when you think about it. How much God has blessed us with? What did God give up? He gave His only Son. He gave up His only Son for our sakes. So for heaven's sake, we can give back a little of our pocket money, can't we? And be happy about it. That's the important thing. Be happy about it. Fear God and keep His commandments. That is correct. Understand that the giving, as we pointed out, can exceed. In fact, it probably should exceed the former tithe. But we understand also that former tithe was for a purpose. Our purpose now is for what? Why do we give back to God? He said, God doesn't need to spend money. He can create anything He wants. It's to further His kingdom. And where is the kingdom right now? Here on earth. And like any business, and like just anything you do here on earth, it does require money. But it's not the money that God's happy about. It's that willingness, because that willingness shows that we, in turn, are placing ourselves under God. We are submitting to God. We are sacrificing to God by doing that. It's a gift. As a salute sacrifice, correct? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Thank you. Okay, we've got just a couple of minutes. Giving should be profitable also. If you take a look at 2 Corinthians 9, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Rick, would you look at that? Read that, please. In the meantime, Raphael, Proverbs 11, 25. Proverbs 11, 25, Raphael. And finally, Chad, Proverbs 22, verse 9. Notice who he's giving it to. He's giving it to the poor. And finally, Luke 6, 38. James, if I can get you that, please. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Okay. Now, we should give the expectation that God's going to give us back. As we said before, it's not necessarily going to be material goods, but understand that. And that last part is very good. Give, and by the same measure, God's going to give back to you. So if you're grudging or unwilling or giving just what you can, barely enough to get by, how do you think God's going to bless you? Understand, at the very beginning we said that giving is a blessing. Blessing in the sense of fulfillment. God will take care of you. Whatever you need as here on earth, God's going to give you the opportunity to get that. You're not just going to sit down and God's going to shower and say, here's money for you to live. No, you have to go out and get it. But as you give back to God, as you entrust God with more, He in turn will trust you more to do good, so He'll provide the means for you to do that good here on earth. So it is a blessing to give. You're going to receive. God loves you. You are His children. He is going to give to you. So you're blessed already, but you'll be blessed more if you give willfully, cheerfully, and with a purpose. Thank you all for attention. I know we covered a lot of things in this lesson. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them. But I really appreciate your attention. Thank you all.